Thank you for joining me on this very special day as we remember the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm glad that we can spend this time together. I am not sure if you will go to church today or if you have already been to church this day, but if this is the only time all day when you will hear about the Savior stretched out on the rugged wooden cross, then I pray God will speak to you through his word now in these few minutes we have with one another. As you may know, from the cross, Jesus spoke seven words. These are not seven individual words, but rather seven sentences or phrases. This would have been incredibly difficult to do physically, given how ruined the body is hanging there. But as we have already said, Jesus is strong till the end. He is in command of his last breath. As we begin, let me get all seven of these words on your mind. They come from four of the Gospels combined, and here they are. Please pay attention. This is Christ speaking. Luke 23:34. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:43. To one of the thieves who believed in Jesus, he said, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." John 19:26-27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" John 19:28. "I am thirsty." John 19:30. "It is finished." Luke 23:46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." These are the seven last words of Christ from the cross, and they are all powerful. I hope that you will spend some time today with Jesus, reading and meditating on what he has said. Be thoughtful, and remember, will you, that what Jesus is doing here and what he is voicing here is for you. Personalize these words. He asks God to forgive you of your sin. He gives you hope. If you will believe in him, then on the second of your death, you'll also be with him. Just as Jesus provided a son to care for his mother Mary and a mother to care for his disciple John, so too Jesus supplies all your needs when you express faith in him. And then, as we shall see soon, Jesus knows all about your sense of abandonment. Have you experienced separation from someone you love? Well, Jesus has endured this far more deeply than you have, and yet still he can definitely relate to what you are going through. And Jesus is made thirsty for you. And Jesus finishes perfectly the mission God the Father gave him for you. And Jesus commits his spirit to God for you. He died for you. This is the message of the Christ on the cross. At the end of this broadcast and podcast will be my email and mailing addresses. These are two ways you can get a hold of me. And here's what I invite you to do. If you're listening and you do not have expressed faith in Christ, but you'd like to know more about how these words apply to you, then write to me today and just simply say you want to hear more about this. I'll write back soon. Or if you already believe in the Lord Jesus and you accept his death is the atonement you require for your sin, and your sins have all been forgiven through your faith in him, then I also want you to write to me today and invite me to pray alongside you for a person or persons in your life who you want to be Christian. Have you been anxious to see a family member, a friend, a colleague, even an enemy believe in Christ? I am willing to pray for these people that you care about. You do not even have to give me their names. Just give me their initials. For example, I am praying this Good Friday for DS, TW, and BSL. You have no idea who they are, but now you can pray for them along with me. Well, dear Christian, who do you know for whom you have a desire to see saved and rescued by Christ from their sin? Write to me today with their initials. Let's pray together. The Bible says to pray for those who do not yet have faith in Christ. Let's support one another in this and look forward with great anticipation to their salvation. And come with me now to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. I have read this as part of the seven last words of Christ, and now I want to comment on these verses. Here they are again. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In the time we have, I want to say five things about these words of Jesus, but I do so recognizing that much more can and should be said. This is a most profound statement, and I am very limited in my own understanding, but I want to say something. And the first insight I want to give you is that here Jesus is speaking of spiritual separation from God the Father. For the first and only time ever, Jesus experiences separation from God the Father. Their most intimate of relationships is briefly, yet agonizingly, severed. Second, the reason God the Father and God the Son are separated is because of sin. Jesus is taking on sin, and God cannot in any way be associated with sin. Therefore, the Father forsakes the Son. We can say God turned his back on Jesus. And this brings me to my third insight. Third, Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy with this heart cry. Jesus quotes Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. If you have never read Psalm 22, or you have not done so recently, today's the best day to do so, because this psalm details Christ's death on the cross long before it happened. Right up until the end, Jesus completes with precision the prophecies given in the Old Testament about him. Whatever the Bible tells us about Jesus is true, and it is going to happen exactly that way in the life of Christ. And again, we find this is true in his death. Let me review my first three insights into Matthew 27, verse 46, and these words of Jesus, and then I'll give the others. First, Jesus speaks of spiritual separation from the Father. Second, the reason God the Father and God the Son are separated is because of sin. And third, Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy with this heart cry. And now fourth, it is very important that you understand this. With the word forsaken, Jesus is not saying that he was separated from God the Father in essence or nature. Jesus did not somehow exit the Trinity in these moments, nor did Jesus cease to be God. But what did stop was the illimitable intimacy of Father and Son and Spirit. That sweet fellowship God has within himself was somehow put on pause between the Father and Son, and Jesus feels it. Oh, how he feels this separation. This is abandonment of the worst kind ever experienced by any human being. And this fourth insight reveals the severe limitations of my understanding of this verse. No person can truly know what these words of Jesus mean to the same length and depth we can understand other passages of the Bible. There is something going on here that is beyond us. It is a mystery. I am just doing the best I can under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can do better. If you have an insight here that I'm missing on what this separation means theologically, by all means, send it along to me today. And may God grant each of us the grace we need to make sense of this from our limited human perspective. Now let's move on, and let me give you my fifth and final insight. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Fifth, Christ said this because God the Father was judging him for our sins. Dear followers of Christ, the full wrath and fury of God for sin was unleashed in Jesus. Here are some other scriptures to read on your own and seriously consider. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Jesus was delivered over because of our transgressions. That's Romans 4:25. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 is a text I regularly share with you. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. And the Bible goes on. Listen to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3, 13, in which Paul the Apostle writes that Jesus became a curse for us. And the Apostle Peter reaffirms this truth in two passages I have on my mind. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, "And Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross." That was written by Peter in 1 Peter 2:24. And then Peter writes again over in chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust." 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Jesus Christ was not a martyr. I've told you this week he was not a victim, and now I tell you he was not a martyr. Martyrs die for a cause they deeply believe in. Yes, we can be martyred for our faithfulness to Christ. But God did not punish Jesus because Jesus was a martyr for the cause of God. No. To find this kind of wrath being poured out on Jesus means that Jesus was actually, in reality, taking on the iniquities, the sin of us all. Only martyrdom would not have engendered such rage in God, but sin will. Oh, get this. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus died for your sin and my sin. And we praise him today, and we thank him today from the bottom of our hearts. On this day, we remember that Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've given you five insights into what this means as best I understand it, and I leave you with these words and what they mean now as you continue in your remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Matthew chapter 27 closes, he is dead. Ah, but he will rise again. And on Monday, we'll meet together and celebrate, you and me, the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, as up from the grave he arose. Join me again on Monday, for God is.